Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We'll start off first with the last hadith, the khatam of the kitab, thereafter followed by the bayan, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Babu bayani ma a'addallahu ta'ala lil mu'minina fil jannah. The chapter on what Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the believers in Jannat. An Suhayb radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala: إذا دخل أهل الجنة الجنة يقول الله تبارك وتعالى تريدون شيئا أزيدكم فيقولون ألم تبيض وجوهنا ألم تدخلنا الجنة وتنجنا من النار فيكشف الحجاب فما أعطوا شيئا أحب إليهم من النظر إلى ربهم رواه مسلم. حضرت سهيب رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when the people of Jannah enter Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will ask them, do you desire that I give you anything more? They will reply, have you not illuminated our faces? Have you not admitted us into Jannah and saved us from Jahannam? The veil will be then lifted and they will not have been given anything that was more beloved to them than seeing their Allah.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون. صدق الله العظيم. A prominent alim from Masahil Ulum Saharanpur explained there are three categories of people. All are heading towards Jannat, but they are in three categories. The one class engages in the service of Allah Ta'ala, ibadat, zikr, etc. And the main reason, the catalyst behind all this, is that the favors that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed us, we want them to continue. Good health, good wealth, family life. So all those benefits, favors that we are enjoying, we want those benefits to continue. And the type of protection we are enjoying, we want that protection also to be maintained. So the catalyst in their ibadat, in their serving Allah Ta'ala, is a continuity, a plan that all the favors that we enjoy must continue and the difficulties must be warded away. So that's the whole aim, that's the whole plan. So he says, alright, we'll not say that we condemn this, but it's a very entry level, very shallow level. Because then mankind has reduced himself to the level of an animal. Dog, you throw it some food, etc., and it's serving you. And you pass it on to the next person, he throws that bone, etc., then it's serving him. So you reduced yourself to that level, not understanding the high intelligence, understanding, and the beauty Allah Ta'ala has blessed mankind, that you can reach up to such heights, you can reach up to such levels, and you prefer just the entry level. That also is not wrong, but it's just the entry level. The whole irony is that you were content with the entry level. Then he says that there is a second level of a jannati, and he's also good. The first one is also good, and the second level also is good. But his whole understanding is that I will do this and I will get jannat. I will do this and I will get this type of a reward in jannat. I will do this and I will get this type of a blessing in jannat. So he said that is also good, supported in the Quran, supported through the hadith. So there is nothing wrong in that. But then that level also is not the ultimate level. That is like a businessman. You know, I'm paying this and this is what I will pick. I will pay and I will pick. Pick and pay. So that's the mentality. That I will do this and this is what I will get in return. So that is also not wrong. It is condoned. It is encouraged. In the pages of the Quran, pages of the Hadith, you will perform your namaz like this and this is the reward that you will get. And you will read Durood Sharif on this day and this is the type of reward that you will get. So that's also been proved from the Hadith of the Quran Sharif. Then he says, then the ultimate is, he backs it up with a story. So Mahmud Ghaznavi, he ruled over India, the whole dynasty Ghaznavi. Dynasty continued in India for about 200 or 300 years. So, one day, for some reason or the other, he was very excited, very jubilant, very good mood. So he opened up all his vaults and called his main people, says, whoever lays his hand to whichever thing that belongs to him. Someone put his hand onto the gold, took the gold away. Someone onto the silver, someone onto the diamonds, rubies, pearls, whatever. He wanted to place his hands, and he wanted it, because that was the promise of the king. The king promised it, and he gave it. In the meanwhile, a slave that was fanning the king. So the slave girl, she just put her hand onto the shoulders of the king, that's all. So the king asked the slave woman, that I made this announcement. Didn't you hear the announcement? Yes, I did hear the announcement. Then, can you see they are all intelligent people here? There's ministers, there's professional people, people, academics, academicians. You got all these type of people you have got. If you don't have the brains, you could have taken the brains from these people. He's put his hand onto the silver, to the gold, to the diamonds, to the rubies, whatever else. And you haven't placed your hand on any commodity. So she was calm, but did you hear the announcement? Said, yes. Then why aren't you responding? They responded in a certain way. They know that it's my promise and I will honor my word. So they touched those things that they were attracted to. But why are you remaining totally still, calm, etc.? So she asked again for the second time, but this is your promise and you will honor your promise. Said, yes. Well, then she placed her hand again more firmly on the shoulders of the king. What do you mean by this? He said, you just said just now that whoever places his hand in any wealth, then that wealth belongs to him. On anything, you place your hand on anything, any commodity that belongs to you. So I have placed my hands onto your shoulders. The kingdom belongs to you, so from now the kingdom belongs to me. So that's the highest that you can bargain for. You bargain for the love of Allah Ta'ala. When you bargain for the love of Allah Ta'ala, then Zami Hamara, Sama Hamara, everything belongs to us. So that's the ultimate. You are not looking at just the entry level. Although there is basis for it, you are looking at the average level. There is a basis for that as well. But you're looking at the ultimate, the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that was recited in this beautiful hadith, that Allah Ta'ala will remove the veil, shift the veil, and we'll have the blessings watch his countenance. And as the hadith goes, there won't be anything as beautiful as viewing the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just to make us understand this, sometimes you have to give something graphic for you to understand the concept, right? You invited for a nikah to be held in Orient Hall, for example. Right? Oh, what's the other one? MJ, what do they call that other one? NMJ, yeah. So one is Orient or one is NMJ, we called you. So you came, you left your luxuries, you left your comforts, everything, your business, you're doing too good business. But now they asked you to come to a wedding in Orient Hall or NMJ, right? Now how they have it, Allah protect us and Allah save us, that they have the girl or the bride sitting on the stage, right? Now it's a mixed gathering, so everybody will view the bride. Right? And we're not talking of it, not if of it being haram and impermissible, that you're not supposed to be looking at a girl, right? That's in his place. But now, you just came in, you just rocked in the hall when that show was just over and they start eating, right? So you join them for the meals, but I ask you, what will you say? You didn't see the bride, you didn't see that tamasha, that fun. What will you say? Hey, I wasted, I lost out. Because that was the highlight. The highlight was watching that bride on the stage and how she was being viewed and the respect and the honor. You know, that was the actual highlight. The rest of it is by the way, the food, the biryani, and whatever else that go with it, that was by the way. That you could have eaten in Johannesburg also, or you could have eaten in some restaurant somewhere else, you could have eaten. But what was the highlight? It was this thing here. So if you missed out this, then you missed the whole show. So exactly the same, the rest of Jannat is just the by the way. The actual Jannat is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the actual Jannat. Now this one illustration, one example to make us understand things in perspective, right? Now ask that person who's got a very strong bond with his wife, right? Very strong bond. And because of the bond, he's built up a palace for himself, for his wife has built. Tumera mumtaz mahal. Me tumara taj mahal, right? So what he says, me tera taj mahal, or tu mera mumtaz mahal. Ah, tujhe pyar ki anmol moti de do. You are my Taj, I am your Taj Mahal, you are my Mumtaz Mahal, right? So now you build everything for her, right? And it was for who? It was for the wife that you did this, that you said, hey, you know, I need to do something as a token of love, as a token of appreciation, so I put up this palace. As you did everything, the whole thing was complete, proper, you've done it, you know, you've done it like how you're supposed to be doing it. And just then the wife died. What would be the person's response? Say, what's the use of all this thing here when the beauty of the palace is gone? Is there any meaning to this? Now it's totally hollow. So everything else is by the way. The actual thing is the bride. So in Jannat, that's the actual thing, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that's the actual thing, everything else is by the way. So when we are bargaining, this is what we're supposed to be bargaining for. Bargaining for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty, the countenance of Allah ta'ala. You've got that overwhelms every other thing. Every other thing in Jannat is overwhelmed just by watching the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the last hadith that was read, right? In Riyadh al-Salihin. And the hadith that precedes it is about Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi and Munkar. It's about, in short, right, every Muslim is required to preserve deen and propagate deen. In short, preserve and propagate. Now, preservation and propagation, that's a very wide terminology. Right? So, for the rest of your life, you have to learn how to preserve and how to propagate. Though the terms are very small and short, but for the rest of your life, in order to understand and appreciate what's the meaning of preserve, what's the meaning of propagate, you have to spend your whole lifetime to get that. like you learn, right, what is finance, what is business, to make the maximum wealth in the minimum time with the least effort without any type of legal implications, right? With no legal implications. Maximum wealth, minimum time, least effort, no legal implications, and with all the securities. Anything else? Now that you learn the definition of wealth, did you become a wealthy person? Now you have to spend your entire life to get that wealth. So one is the definition and one is the actual reality, two different entities. What has happened to us today is because of an abundance of information, Google, whatever, right? So there's a lot of information. So because we read up, so we think we've got it. So to read up is something else, and to have it is something else. It's, worlds apart. The information and the reality both are worlds apart. It doesn't mean you read up something, you have got it. We know, all of us know, that some of the world best Islamic scholars are kafirs. Someone is a Christian, someone is an atheist, but the amount of hadith he knows, the type of tafsir he knows, the type of Arabic that he knows, that will put even an Arab away. It will embarrass an Arab. He knows so much about Arabic, he knows so much about the Quran, so much about the hadith. But yet we say, he is not an alim. Right? We will not class him, we will not group him amongst the ulama. So there is something short in him. So one is the information, and one is the application. One is preservation. So the preservation has two parts, the information and application. And number two is the propagation. Two different things. Now this ummah has been coined with this praise, with this honor. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas. That's about the last hadith. That is about the last hadiths that are recited in this Riyadhus Salihin. That you have been termed and classed as the best of ummah. Right? Why? Because you will enjoin the good and forbid the bad. So this thought was crossing in my mind for some time, that you cannot say that enjoining the good and forbidding the bad is exclusive with this ummah. Because the past also, they were doing it. The Bani Israel, Allah Pak says, kanu la yatanahawna am munkarin fa'alu. They were leaving out some of the obligations, the duties of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi and Munkar, they were leaving it out. So that means it was an obligation. Some of them fulfilled and some of them could not fulfill. So to say that this obligation is something that is exclusive to this ummah is misunderstanding. But then why did Allah Pak class this ummah as the best of ummah? If it is that this Amar bil Ma'ruf, this enjoying the good, forbidding the bad, was also existent in the past, existent in this ummah, then why does Allah Ta'ala count this ummah as the best of ummahs? So the answer that came into my mind, Allah Pak knows best, that this ummah here has taken this obligation of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar to an exceptionally high level. They took it to a very high level. Now, how do you understand that this ummah had taken this Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar to a high, unprecedented level? How do you understand that? Look at it. From the time the child is ushered into this world, Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar is commenced straight away. Azan and Iqamat. Isn't that an Amar bil Ma'ruf? Hayya ala salah. From the time of birth. Then, as the child is coming up a little bit, or he's beginning to identify 1 year, 6 months, whatever, the mother is reciting the kalima in his presence, right? It's about 3 years or 4 years, then the basic du'as are taught to the child. See, all Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, the whole program has already commenced at the age of three. Mother started off, and he's at the age of four, then you're sending him to a kindergarten or a creche, and he's taught the basic du'as, namaz, taharat, etc. All these things that pertain to Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar have commenced already at the age of four. At the age of five and six, there is a small maktab that he's attending, learning to recite the Quran Sharif, understanding what are the do's in Islam and what are the don'ts in Islam, that whole procedure has already commenced, right? Now then there'll be an individual who says, all right, I learned the basics of Islam at a maktab level for 5 years, right? 5 years or 6 years of my life, I've learned the basics of Islam. I want to learn Islam in detail. So, all right, there is a provision for you as well, that you can learn Islam in detail, get into a Darul Uloom, and you will learn the details of Islam. If you want to learn about Taharat, then all the chapters on Taharat, support with the Hadith, the Quranic verses, etc., you will come across all that. If you want to learn about Namaz, same, all the chapters on Namaz, what are the things that will invalidate the Namaz, what are the preconditions for Namaz, what are the sunnahs of Namaz, what are the mustahab for Namaz, all will be discussed in that. So, Islam will be discussed with somewhat detail at the Darul Uloom. Now, that youngster says, all right, I learned at the basic level, and I've learned the details of Islam. Now, I want to specialize. So, then there is a cause for the same child to specialize also. Do some takhassus, some specialized course. So, there is a cause for him to specialize, right? So, can you see now the levels of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar at a level unprecedented, unimaginable, right? Then, they don't leave it there, right? They are going to be Muslims that are practicing. There are going to be Muslims that are not going to be practicing. Then, we got our Tabligh Jamaat and Tabligh brothers. They are coming to you, right? You're supposed to be going to them, but now, they reverse the whole thing. They coming to you door to door. By come to the masjid. There's going to be a program. Come for 40 days, etc. Learn your deen. The basic things of deen. Learn it. Now you are too old now. You are 25, 30. You can't get into a maktab, into a child's madrasa. But get into a mobile madrasa with all adults. And you will learn the requirements of deen. What you're supposed to be doing. What you're supposed to be leaving out. Some basic aspects of taqwa. Righteousness and self-restraint, akhlaq and good character, they will teach you all that. So, they made a provision for that youngster, or that adult, or that grown-up, for him to be firm in deen. The idea was for you to be firm in deen, that was the idea. So, you missed out the maktab level, or you missed out the madrasa level, now you come to an old age. So, there is a provision for this person as well, in a mobile madrasa, and go out for 40 days, or 4 months, whatever, and learn. So you will learn good mannerisms, good ways, good conducts, how to be a good husband, how to be a good father, or how to be a good child. All these things they will teach you. Right. Now, you may complain, all right, for me to move out is a little bit of difficult. I can't be moving out. I can't be moving out. So, all right, you can't move out, can't go for 40 days, 4 months, etc. Then there are some khankas. You got Magda Sabia, you got other ulama-i kiram that are hosting these type of programs for your self-reformation. Can't move out, but you'll have to learn deen. The right beliefs, right? Abu Sab Rahmatullah used to say, it's an obligation for every Muslim to learn the right beliefs, the right amal, right? The right type of dealings, the right type of character, and the right type of words, right type of words, tasbihat, zikr, tilawat, etc. That will amount to the right type of words. So it's an obligation on every Muslim to learn these 5 things. So if you missed out in the maktab, then you're getting it in the madrasa. If you missed out there, then you're getting it in a tabligh jamaat. If you missed out in the tabligh jamaat, then you're getting it in a khanka. So such a comprehensive plan, can you show me this type of a comprehensive plan that ever existed in any denomination or in any religion? So this is something exclusive to Islam. Therefore we said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of nations, best. So you have taken Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi al Munkar at an exceptionally high, unprecedented level. That's your distinction. Your distinction. Just to see that this operation carries on, and how miraculous and how strange and beautiful is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Just talks about building a masjid, and there's hundreds of people that don't cooperate. Mullah, what are the carpet is from me? Mullah will have to sort out the disputes. You know, he's saying carpet from him, he's saying the carpet is from him. There'll be 20 people saying, Mullah will say, alright, as a compromise now, or right, you'll do quarter of it, and you'll do half, and you'll do one-tenth, and give everybody a share to do that. But everybody, every Muslim wants to cooperate in the building of that masjid. Is it a fact or not, right? Something. So, on the one end, the people doing the work, and then you get those that are cooperating, and it will happen simultaneously, it will just happen. We are start of the work, provided, I say all the time, sincerity and commitment. You got the sincerity and commitment, and you see how that thing flies. How that money comes, how the wealth comes, Allah Pak knows, but it comes. It comes and it comes flying. And then you have to pick and choose how much you can take from one person, how much you can take from the second person, and how much you can take from the third person. So you see, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Now, there's two sides to any story, there's two sides, right? You talk about the positive, you talk about the negative. So in any issue you'll have the positive, you'll have the negative. وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ This is how Allah Ta'ala has designed the whole universe. It's going to be opposites. مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ If there is cold, then there is hot. Right? There is sickness, then there is good health. There is wealth, then there is poverty. There is a male, there is a female. Right? There is something high and elevated, there is something low. Right? If there is disgrace, there is honor. Right? So this whole world has been designed in that way. So, now, as far as Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, there's going to be all different type of dimensions. So there's going to be a positive approach, and there's going to be a negative approach. And both approaches are required. You should not almost only be positive. That's not right. You're going to have a positive approach, you're going to have a negative approach, and both approaches are required. Now, the positive is the rule. The negative is an exception to the rule, right? But both are required. You cannot say now, because it's an exception to the rule, so therefore, we don't require it. Now, for our purposes and understanding, right? There is a, you're traveling on the road, there is a rule, right? On the right side, then you move at the speed, and you observe all the regulations, right? So that's a rule. But you will find a traffic police, will find a paramedic, he's an exception to the rule. Isn't he an exception to the rule? Right. But because he's an exception to the rule, every other person cannot say, I am also an exception to the rule. The paramedic, he's an exception to the rule. Right. The traffic officer, he's an exception to the rule. Or it's a government vehicle with the blue lights in front and behind, they're an exception to the rule. They will move at their speed and they will not be required to follow all the regulations. They are exception to the rule. Now we say, no, everybody must follow. If there's a law, everybody must follow. The paramedic must also follow. Then the patient will die then. You know? If the traffic police is not breaking the law, if he's not breaking the law, then there'll be accidents on the road. Right? So he'll have to do some things. He's an exception to the rule. One is the rule, one is an exception to the rule. So, generally we follow the rule, and we also understand, keep it in our minds, that there is an exception to the rule. There will be someone that will be doing it in a negative way, so we'll support him as well, like we'll support the one that is doing it in a positive manner. Right. Now you may want to know, right, is there any precedent for that? Any precedent for doing things in a negative way, right? See, the hadith says that I wished to gather my youth, collect some firewood, and burn the houses of those people who are not attending the congregational namaz. Now, when you hear this for the first time, a normal person, what will say, is it a positive approach or a negative approach? Negative approach. But hadith says it, we read it and we talk about it all the time. So there is a positive and there is a negative. Right? Now to say it must be positive all the time, right? That's a general rule, but there'll be an exception to the rule, and we have to accept it that there is an exception to the rule. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is going through the street, he's got the Mubarak shoe of Rasulullah as a symbol, right? Go, and anybody says, La ilaha illallah, bashirhu bil Jannah. If he says, La ilaha illallah, then Rasulullah is asking him, go and tell him that he's a Jannati. En route, he meets Abu Hurairah. Umar radiallahu anhu, where are you off to? This is the mission. Umar radiallahu says, no, you're not going, you're going back. So no, but Rasulullah also sent me. So he struck him with his fist, until Abu Hurairah says that I fell down, khararatul isti, I fell down. Imagine Umar was so powerful, one shot, the man fell down. And Umar radiallahu anhu went and explained this to Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah, you mean good, but people will take advantage over this. They will just read La ilaha illallah. They won't be punctual about their namaz, about their roza, etc. And they'll think they'll be flying to Jannat. So I needed to use this approach so that they don't become complacent. Rasulullah endorsed it. He didn't oppose what Umar radiallahu anhu says. So there's going to be a positive approach. There's going to be a negative approach. And both will be required. I say that negative is an exception to the rule, not the rule itself. Now this is common knowledge. But just that now, because we're living at a certain time, people talk in a certain manner, so we all go with the tide. You know, some many years ago, talking of people that have all passed away now, right? All dead and gone, so you don't have to speculate who's the person. So there was a prominent lecturer of Durban, prominent. He had some acquaintance, so he came with his murk, came with the speed, saw me, he just applied brakes. He said, no, just get in. Now I knew the person, now he's old, so out of respect, I just sat in his car. So a very prominent person, and for all his major conglomerates, he does the presentation, a lot of things, they call him into the meetings, all that. So now, he's telling me, you know, had I been younger, I would have been a Christian. You know, then he carries on, I can't just answer him straight away, I have to listen to his full story, then I can explain. So he says, you see, this evangelist, when they appear on the screen, you know, and how nicely the presentation is, how good the presentation is. Presentation is now, with death and into the laps of Christ. You with death and you are entering into paradise straight. Without a delay, straight away you're getting into Jannah. So how nice. And here we listen to the bayan. You'll do this, in the qabr you'll catch it. You'll do this, on the day of Qiyamah you're going to catch it, right? There, with death into the laps of Christ. Now, beautiful. And you, just frightening the people. Talking about the ulama, right? So I saw now the man is in the mood now. So I said, alright, don't take his name now. So alright, we'll talk about it later on. So he understood, I just diverted the whole topic and all that, because now he's on the attack. See, when the person is on the attack, you can't answer him at that time. Because whatever he wants to say, he's just going to attack you. So you have to get him in a different wicket, you know, get him in a different mood. He's calmed off completely. Now you get him, so you gave him a chance to think, to reconsider what he's talking about. So about 3 months later, it was his granddaughter or someone that was getting married. I said, can you do the nikah? I said, all right. I said, all right. Last minute, he's telling me, can you give the bayan as well? How long? About 20 minutes, all right. I'll give the bayan. So I'm thinking now, all right, for the benefit of this chacha here, to save him from becoming a disbeliever. You know the words he said, had I been young, I would have been a Christian. You know? So how must I save him? So I said, see, you are traveling, right, on the road, and there's two friends. One friend is telling you, don't worry, the route is so clear, the police won't trouble you, they'll compliment you for speeding. You know, no, now and then you get one police officer, no, just be a little bit careful, don't worry, everything you carry on, right? So one is that policeman. And the other traffic police, he tells, you see, you're going to speed, they won't hesitate. Today is Friday, they won't hesitate in putting you in jail, and you'll only appear in court on Tuesday morning. And they don't accept any bribes. And the least that you have to pay is about 100,000, right? Right? Now, when you're traveling on the road, you saw the police, and you saw the police just moving people out. People are pleading, they're not acceding to those people's requests and all that. So now, I ask you, when you're moving on the road and you came safely without any problem, who are you going to be complimenting, the first friend or the second friend? The first friend, you say you're a liar. Hey, see all these people, I saw the police just moving them off the road. ticketing them, right? Jailing them. I saw that with my own eyes. And what lies were you giving me? See now, this is what the ulama are doing. Maybe they're coming in a little bit forcefully, but they're afraid about your future. Because they're afraid of your future, they're giving you in that words. But the catalyst is right. Catalyst, they don't want you to be sitting in the jail of Jahannam. They don't want you to be burning there. No, they don't want you. So they're saving you from that. The approach is a little bit firm, but they're saving you from a major disaster. Anyway, the nikah was over, etc., etc. After that, that man came and told me. He's an old man, so I would show him some respect because of his age. So, Mullah, you know, you saved my iman. I would have gone, I renewed my iman, and I understand the thing now. Now I understood it. Before this, nobody took the time to explain this to me. And me also, I just had to, it was a coincidence, his nikah, his granddaughter's nikah, and I found an opportunity to explain the whole thing out to him. Because at that time, when he spoke, that time he was on the attack. And I knew if I'm going to speak to him then, he's not going to be receptive. Now that everything is calmed off and explained to him, he will accept it. He'll accept it in a better frame of mind. So, to say now, you must only have a positive approach and not a negative approach. Really, this misunderstanding and misconstruing of deen. What will you say about Umar radiallahu anhu? Will you say that he didn't understand the deen, therefore he had a negative approach? What will you say about the hadith which says that I wanted to burn off those houses, right? That Rasulullah didn't know about deen. Today now you came in the 15th century, and today now you know what is deen. The positive approach is required, and the negative approach, both are required. But now, the question that will come up now, is where will be the positive approach applied, and where, under what circumstance, the negative approach applied. So, all these things require association. You can't do it yourself. Every person can't go and claim to be a paramedic and an expert on the road. The paramedic, apart from his job, he knows he needs to learn advanced driving as well. One is a general level of driving and one is an advanced level of driving. So the paramedic, with his job, he has to learn an advanced level of driving so that he knows how to cut through, how to maneuver and get into the hospital. He knows all that. Right? He's learned that, he's been trained for that, he's got the practical experience from some very great expert, he's got it. So he can do it. If he does it, he's not a danger, he's not a threat, he's not a disaster on the road. But now you think to yourself that he could do it, why can't I do it? Then that reasoning is flawed. Your reasoning is not right. He went through the training for so many years, 7-8 years he spent, right? He's gone through that advanced training, and if he applies himself, it's different. You are just imitating the person. You're going to be a problem just now. This is where we go off. We think, if he can do it, why can't I do it? If that person was hard, why can't I do it? Maulana Rahim Ilahi, the great Buzur of India, just showing you, you know, positive and the negative, right? So there's two sides to it, and we have to accept that there are the two sides, and those that have that understanding, experience, if they apply the negative, it's also going to be working. But those that don't have it, then they should be careful about themselves. Alright, then you apply the negative, but just at a primary level, within your home, within your children, within the house, you apply it, provided you have the brains. If you don't have the brains, then in your home also you're going to create a disaster. Because you don't know the levels. At what level of disciplinary action is required, at which level. Someone came from Durban, 3 days ago. So he says, no, small little thing, the child perhaps didn't perform the namaz, 8, 9 years of age, or 10 years of age, but he didn't perform the namaz straight at 1 o'clock. So he performed the namaz at 1:30, right? So the father now said, you're not going to eat the whole day, locked him in the room. But now, that's stupidity. If you learn that thing, if you don't have the brains, then borrow the brains. Now you want to apply any type of a stringent measure, when you don't know how to apply it, I ask you, is it right? So no negative. When I speak about negative, it must be negative as well. But do you know the application? When you don't know the application and you don't have the brains, then you're going to create a disaster. It's going to create a bad impression for Islam. But you know, right, this is the level of the crime. What is the level of discipline that I must put into place? Alright, perhaps he didn't get up straight away. So you told him, alright, today you'll get 2 chocolates, you'll get 1 chocolate. Why? You didn't perform the namaz at 1 o'clock. So that was something that was reasonable at his age. He understands, alright. He enjoyed 2 chocolates, I enjoyed just 1 serving. And next time I must also get the 2 servings and I must get my namaz on time. So that is the level that he's supposed to be putting in. But now when he doesn't understand this, it's going to be a disaster. Now, I had this problem just about 2 days ago, and therefore I'm discussing with you. Someone came from Durban, came and said, complaining about his father. The mother must have sent him, so this is what the father has done. Is that the right thing? The catalyst was right, alright, he was concerned about his namaz. But the level of discipline, was it right? Now you're going to put the child, he's going to create a mental problem for the child. Because when you put a disciplinary action, it's to improve the child. But now you put such a disciplinary action, then the child gets mentally distraught, he gets mentally disturbed. And you think, you know, I've done the right thing. This is what Hazrat Imam should say. This understanding, etc., grows with right association. And for a long period, right association with fikr, you are sitting there and you are understanding how to apply. You know, this come couple of days now and then so no, I can apply it, I learnt it, I can apply it. No. Like I said, that paramedic, you have to go through the stringent course. After so many years you become. So at the level that we can do it, primary level within the home, that we can apply even the negative, right, within the home, within the people that come under our influence, within our own selves, right? I miss the namaz, what about me? I strict on him, but I delay the namaz myself. Do I apply the same measures upon myself, or I apply it only on others, and me, I feel I am exempt. See. So you see, within your own home, within the people that you can exercise your influence, you will apply some laws, right? But now, you can't apply that across the board, and you can't apply too severe measures that doesn't warrant the crime. It's a crime, it's a wrong, but it doesn't warrant it. I'm just showing you some negative, then I'll show you a positive also. A negative approach, right? So I spoke about Mawla Rahim Ilahi Rahmatullah Ali, very great Buzurg, a great Alim. And at any time in history, you will find that when an Alim is committed to his work, he's dedicated, he's doing dini work, the more dedication and the greater the opposition. History has it like this, the greater the dedication, the commitment, the greater the opposition. Right? No dedication, no commitment, you'll have no opposition. Be cool, calm, relaxed, enjoy everybody, go for a braai, enjoy the ghibat, everything. So you have no opposition. But you committed, right? You committed to the work, you're sincere about it, the greater the commitment, the greater the opposite. You're going to get that. So, just be prepared for that. So, Mawla Rahim Ilahi Sahib Rahmat, a very sincere person, but a very truthful, straight person. So as a result, the people in the neighborhood, they didn't like him. Now just to spite him, now, just in the neighborhood of the masjid, they call on Kawali and one musician to have a big show there. Obviously, he's got a Kawali there, musical instruments, that's going to be blasting. And he's just in the vicinity of the masjid. And Mawlana has to take that route to come to the masjid. So Mawlana is getting really worked up in the vicinity of the masjid. They're disturbing the ambience, the peace, the calmness, the tranquility of the masjid. Why are they doing this mischief? But then he thinks to himself, I must get this right. How must I get it right? Now, this is not because of his own personal reason, no. But the masjid, the sanctity of the masjid is being violated. And I can't see this. This is a masjid, it's a house of Allah Ta'ala. It's the sanctity of the masjid. And the sanctity of the masjid is being violated. And how do I correct this? In a quick, easy way. So he rectifies his intention first. My intention must be right, not to spite, not to smash. not to show a holier than thou attitude. No. It's only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and I can't see this, that the sanctity of the masjid is being violated. So he thought to himself, he thought for a moment, alright, what do I do? What are my options? So he said, alright, the highlight of this whole tamasha, you know, this whole concert that's carrying on, the highlight of the concert is this girl musician that is singing to the crowd. She's dancing away and she's singing, and she's the entertainment, she's the highlight. So if I smash her down, everybody's spirits, sabki hawa khatam ho jayega, all that air of this will just go. So she is there, she's the highlight, she's where everybody's eyes are focused. If I smash her down, then everything will fail. So while trusting in Allah Ta'ala, correcting his intention, he went straight to the girl, took out his shoe, said, bang him on the head. Now, a musician, for him to be able to sing, he must be in good spirits. If he's getting hurt and he's crying, somebody's hurting him, can he sing? Can you sing? Can you recite the Qirat nicely, Karibasi style, when you're being hurt and somebody's hurting you, somebody's hitting you? You can't do it. You have to be in good spirits to be able to do it. So that girl fell, that whole concert also became a failure. Now, look at the sincerity. See, when you applied a negative approach, but look at the sincerity and the aftermath of the incident. What was the aftermath? Now, this girl here that is singing, she is hosting a crowd of about 5,000 people. So she's so good, and the musician and the Qawwali that is accompanying this is so good, that she's got a record crowd. Now the crowd is really, really, really upset, because now we paid to get into this concert, and this one Molana here, cheap blind person here, he came and smashed the whole thing here. So we need to put him in his place. So they go to that girl, say, see, it was your democratic right to sing and entertain the crowd. Right? It was illegal for him to come and do what he's done. It was your democratic right. You've done according to your democratic right. He's got no business to do this, what he has done to you. You file a suit against him, and we are the witnesses. You file a suit against him, and we are going to be the witnesses, right? Now here I must just stop again, just digress a little bit, I'll come back to the story. For a thing to be legal, it doesn't mean that that thing is permissible. One is being legal. So if it's legal, it doesn't mean it's permissible and halal. Wine is legal, right? But is it halal? Incest is legal in this country. In all the world, the whole world now, incest is legal. But is it halal? Right? Halal. What type of promiscuity? All is legal. Provided, there's two conditions that I remember. One is, you must be of age 18 and above. And number two is, it must be consensual. It must be consensual by the two parties, and you must be above age. So if that is met, that conditions are met, then what you have done is right. So I can't charge you for extramarital relationship. I can't charge you for LG, right? I can't charge you for any other crime that's related to sensual pleasure, right? You get cases, the madrasa coming in. You get a girl saying of age now, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19. So naturally we have an inclination, you know, in very deep inclination. We just feel the tendency to grab our father and do something. We have a strong tendency to do it. You're getting boys saying the same thing, that now our mothers are wearing so tights, you know, in this home, tights and all that. The young tights, and they go to the gym, so they look so nice. So we already did it sometimes, but we attempted to do it to feel the backside now and then, to rub the breast and all. We did it already, and is it the right thing? So we have the tendency, natural tendency to do it, but is it right? You're getting a brother saying this, that we do this with the brother does it with his sister. They both strip, and they both fondle each other. Right till the end, they'll do it. But they've got a natural tendency to do it. So because of them having natural tendencies, is this halal? That will still remain haram. The haram will remain haram. Whether it is LG, whether it is promiscuity, whether it is you having a tendency to the father to the son, or to the daughter, whatever, extramarital, all this thing will be haram. And if anybody says, no, I have a natural tendency, so I am exempt. Alright, you're exempt, but you're not in Islam also then. Then you're not a Muslim then. Then you're out of Islam. Like someone says, no, I have a natural tendency to drink wine. Right, you've drunk wine. So that didn't become halal, but you thought it halal, you believed it to be halal, so you're no more in Islam. Now you're something else. You may be a Satanist, you can be an atheist, whatever, but you're not in Islam. You see, understand it like this. Islam has defined its borders and its parameters, right? It's not going to allow anything alien to come into its parameter. Into its borders, it's not going to allow. You got a beautiful yard, right? You see in Amshlanga, 1 acre, beautiful site, overlooking the ocean, all that, right? Now, I got 5 horse and trailer, and they say, you got such a big yard here, I'll jump all my horse and trailer there. Are you going to allow it? No. That's my parameter, it's my borders, don't intrude. If you said a simple thing and you got the right to stop the person from intruding into your property, into your borders, this Islam doesn't have the right. Right? You want to do it, right? But you no more in Islam now. You can be a kafir, you can be a jahannami, you can be a mal'un, you can be a lanat, you can be all that, right? But you got no place in Islam. Then don't say that I'm an LG, a promiscuity, an incest, etc., and Muslim. No, you can't be. That you're intruding into private property. You can do it. It's a legal thing. We're not going to stop you. But we'll have to tell you that you are a Jahannami. Because the halal is halal. To believe the halal to be halal is an article of faith. And to believe the haram to be haram is an article of faith. If someone comes and tells you, you know, you're such a good person. You have always a positive approach. I got some pork, about 20 kilos. Can't you just put in your deep freeze? Good out of pork. Dimag ko kharab kar diya logon ne. Positive. I'll put all the 20 kilos of pork. It's Christmas time now. And I got so much of wine, you know. Leave in the fridge there. And we'll come and collect it. That's it, sir. You don't have a positive approach. We have a positive approach. Are you going to accept it? No. That's my parameter. It's my right. You don't intrude. You don't get into my rights. You want to be a kafir or a jahannami or a curse, and you can practice that. Can be a curse. But you don't get into my parameter, right? So now, we need to teach our children as well that the tendency doesn't make something legal. It's got a tendency. Because I got cases. I know I could, it's wrong for me to give the names. I won't give the names. But people from respectable families, the girl are saying, we got tendencies to our father. Grab him and do something. The child is saying, boy is saying, I got tendency to my mother. So he got a tendency, natural tendency. Doesn't make it legal. Doesn't make it legal. The brother wants to do it to his own sister. Doesn't make it legal. Doesn't make it halal. No, it's legal. Because all promiscuity is permissible, provided it's the age, and provided it is consensual. So they're allowing it, right? In the whole Western world, they're allowing it, right? So, if they're allowing it, alright, it's legal. It's a legal right. But I ask you, it's halal. I said, no, you got no place in Islam. Don't come to our masjid. Don't come to our Qabristan. Don't come into our home. My roof, my rules. My roof, my rules. You want to do that, you're going to do it under your own roof, not under my roof. My roof, my rules. I ask you, only be positive. Only for one day, keep all the pork. Allow it. Only for one day. Bacon, sausages, you know. Only for one day. Only for one day, you would have a concert, you know, dirty women coming dancing in your house. Only for one day, all the music, only for one day. Be positive now. Maybe there come be Muslims tomorrow. I would have that approach. You don't want to allow it. This is making a joke of this thing here. So, we're not looking at it in perspective, therefore we say, no, because he's got a tendency, therefore it is permissible. Right? Tendency, go and do the thing, but you're no more Muslim now. You're not a Muslim, you're out of Islam. You're not in Jannat now, you're in Jahannam. You die like this, we're not going to attend your janazah namaz. No matter how much you say that I am a Muslim, I've got a Muslim name. Muslim is not just having a name. All these Arabs had Muslim names. They died as kafirs. Pre-Islam. So they had Muslim names. But did they make them Muslims? No. It's something else. So we think to ourselves that having a Muslim name is a license to Jannat. A Muslim name is not a license to Jannah. Islam is the license to Jannah, not the name. So we're talking about this Mawlana Rahim Ilahi Sahib. So this crowd of 5,000, and they are pleading to the girl, you see, because your democratic right, he had no business to come and treat you like this. He dishonored you in this crowd here. So there's so many charges you can charge him for. You can nail him for this, and nail him for that, and nail him for that. Do all that. Now, you know, when I heard this story, I heard the story of this alim here. So, you know, sometimes you get a diamond in the sewage. Now, that was that girl. She was a diamond of a girl. And look at her answer. She says, you see, this man, he tore the crowd, came straight to me, right, and he whacked me on the head, and all of you couldn't do anything. You all couldn't do anything. That shows that this man has got iman in him. It shows that he's got yaqeen in him. It shows that he's a man of God. It shows that he's true and sincere. It shows that he stands for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So that means he's got Allah's strength with him, Allah's might with him, Allah's cover with him. Me fighting against him would be equal to me fighting against Allah ta'ala. So I'm not prepared to listen to your trash. I'm not at all prepared to listen to your trash. Now that's why I say, although she was living in Suraj, but she was a diamond of a girl. Right? Then she went pleading to the Mawlana, Mawlana Rahim Ilahi Sahib, Rahmatullah, see, I'm living in Suraj, in filth. All this type of business I'm living in, and I want to make Tawbah. Mawlana said, alright, you make Tawbah, but you see you're living this life here. I can understand what this life entails. You choose a man of your choice, make the nikah and live. Then your Tawbah is complete. But now, you just want to make Tawbah like this, and you revert to your own business all the time again. So now how must I generate an income if I don't continue like this? I'm going to sustain myself. Then by you get yourself sorted out, then I'll accept you. Otherwise, no. You want to carry on with the trash of yours and say that no, Mawlana accepted me and all that. No, I'm not prepared for that. So no, I made up my mind. I'm leaving this business. Even if it's not a half a loaf, just one slice, I'm prepared to live with that. But no more into this evil. When I read the story, I read it again and again, about 5-10 times I read it. I said, what level of sincerity does Mawlana must have that he impacted so beautifully on the girl, right? And what level of iman this girl must have had that she responded so well, so beautifully. She didn't take it personally. She said, no, this man is a man of Allah Ta'ala. If he could treat me like this when all you people are around me, then that means he's a man of Allah Ta'ala. He's got Allah's support with him. He's got divine strength with him. And I'm fighting him, I'm fighting against Allah Ta'ala. If I'm fighting against Allah Ta'ala, do I stand a chance? I don't stand, there's no chance for me. So no, I'm going to do this. So, a negative approach. But the negative approach is required at times. But as I say, for that negative approach, it's not everybody. As Umar did it. So he could do it. He learned iman. He learned Rasulullah. And he applied a negative approach, and Rasulullah endorsed it. Right? So he had the company, he had the association, he understood. He could put things in perspective. There was no problem after that. Now, when we are applying negative approaches, I ask you, then it's sometimes it's contaminated with nafs, shaitan. We need to strike points against the person. We need to show who's the boss in the house. All these things ring in our minds, right? Just today, I'm showing you the impurity of intention. Intention has to be pure and correct. So, one friend says that we're going to one place, going to make gush there, Mawlana, about five of us, going to make gush and make mulaqat and get all the people back to the masjid, mashallah. So, to him, said, we're going to have a food, but isn't this going to be a contamination of niyat? Because they're going to come for the food. So he's not going to be, the Mawlana is asking. So see, this is not contamination of niyat. Contamination of niyat is when there's a personal gain. What? There's a personal gain, personal benefit, then there's contamination of niyat. That I meant to explain to him. See, one person, Allah Pak saved him from a major disaster, cancer. It happened that in that first treatment that it was very advanced, but someone's dua, whatever happened, and I think just got wiped out of the root. So there was one farmer there, and that farmer, he's telling me, Muay, you must give a sadaqah, give a bull, give a sadaqah. He's repeating it, give a bull, give a sadaqah, give a sadaqah, give a bull. After the 10th time that we understood, he was selling cows, you see. He's selling cows, he's got a personal gain, that personal interest, oh, that's contamination. You're not doing it because sadaqah tadfa ul bala, not because of that. Partly perhaps because of that, but mainly because I need to do business. I got a bull there, and this person is desperate, he's a wealthy person, he'll pay 30,000 or so. I'll cash in about 15,000 on that, you know. I'll get such a big gain out of him. He understood, he's pressing him again for the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, he understood, cha. The niyat is contaminated. The niyat must be absolutely pure for it to have this type of effect. So, on the one side is the negative, right? Now, let me not leave you with negative only. Because for us, we need to apply the positive. Especially when it is outside. And many a times within the house, because we don't have that understanding, how to apply ourselves, we don't have that. Allama Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayh, he's got a story. He says, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a Shami that used to frequent Umar, a very good person, quite an influential person, wealthy, influential, used to come and see Umar radiallahu anhu. So, for some time, Umar radiallahu anhu was missing him, and Umar radiallahu anhu inquired, this person used to be coming to us, and I don't see him any longer. What's happened to him? He used to be coming to us, and I don't see him any longer. And this tafakkud, finding out the welfare, the Amir, that needs to find out what's going on, who's poor, who's in constraints, who needs difficulty, who's far away from deen, how to rope him in, how to get the person. So that's the figure of the Amir, right? Umar Adiyam is inquiring, uska kya ho gaya? The one person that knew him says, no, Amir sahab, says, uska poocho hi mat. ये तो शाम में दिन और रात मस्त है. Don't ask about him. He is day and night. He's pissed drunk. He is just drinking all the time. Don't ask about him. So Umar radiyallahu anhu. Now look at the Amir mean the calmness where he needed to apply a positive, a negative. He applied negative. Where he needs to apply a positive approach, he applies a positive. Now that's because association, understanding, how must be the right application. He understood all this thing here. So he calls his secretary and writes out a letter. Says, Min Umar ila fala, right? And then he starts off the letter, how you start off, Bismillah, and then Alhamdulillah, and then he says, Ghafiri dhambi wa qabili tawbi shadid liqabili tawb la ilaha illahu ilal masir. He is, after writing the letter, he says to those people that are around, so let's join in dua. Let's make a joint dua for the hidayat of this person. So all cried profusely, made dua for him. Now, Umar found a messenger to convey the letter, to deliver the letter, with a message that you hand deliver it to him personally. Don't give it to the second person to pass it on to him. You hand deliver it, give it to him personally. Number two is this, you will only give him the letter when he's in a sober state, not in a drunken state. So one is you give him hand delivered, and number two is you give it to him in a sober state, not in a drunken state. So the letter is delivered. Now the person opens the letter and he says, reads it. Allah Pak is so forgiving with all my wrongs, all my inconsistencies. What I became a delinquent, you know. But Allah Pak is still forgiving. Qabili Tawb, he accepts my repentance. But he's also strict and severe in punishment. And Zittol, most compassionate, or his reach is over all things, you know. And La ilaha illahu ilayil masir. There is no refuge but Allah Ta'ala. There is no refuge but Allah Ta'ala. Ultimately, we have to get back to him. No matter how you look at the equation, but you have to get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other recourse. You have to go back to Him. So he read the letter once, twice, thrice, Elisha crying. And he made such a beautiful tawbah that those that were present there, they say, you can't find a person that is averse to this thing here, like this person. He's so averse, he disgusts it so much that you can't find a person like him. So this report came from Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said, فَكَذَلِكَ فَفْعَلُ. When you see your brother going off, right, then what are you supposed to be doing? This is what you're supposed to be doing. You advise him, number one. Right? Gently you advise him. Number two, make dua for him. And the third piece of advice he gave, he says, وَلَا تُعِينُ الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَىٰ أَخِيكَ. And don't you support the shaitan against your brother. If you were abrupt, you were impolite, you were aggressive, right? You were harsh, you would have had a different response. He said, who is this person here to come to rule my life? What he thinks of himself? He wants to rule my life. It's my life, my democratic right. I can do as I please. Who is to come and tell me? If he had a hard approach, he'll become adamant, he'll become stubborn, he'll become even more defiant. But now we had this approach, we used the right approach, we spoke to him gently, we made dua for him. Now see what's the response. So he says, كَذَلِكَ فَفَلُوا. This is how we're supposed to be doing it, things. And وَلَا تُعِينُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The idea is not to strike points. The idea is not to show authority. Now we're doing things just to show I'm the boss. Listen to me, take the instructions from me. What I say must go. So that's not the idea. The idea is to get the person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we do it amicably in a manner that is acceptable to the person? He feels that we really care, we really love him, therefore we are addressing him in this manner, right? So Umar said, don't you support the shaitan against your brother. Do it, but do it in a gentle way. Now, we're living in a Western society, and we know all the laws that are against us. Everything is against us. So we need to understand what is the law and how to apply it in a way that there's no implications. No implications, no problems, no troubles. But we're doing it, getting our brothers, getting them onto the cause, but without any problems. So I explained about the positive and explained about the negative. And the positive is the rule. That's the rule. The negative is an exception to the rule, right? So we can't condemn the negative, nor can we condemn the positive. Both are required. Allah Bakhtu Finisi. As-salamu ala Rasulihi Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.